This is leadership. This is where leadership happens. And so, you know, a manager shouldn't be doing the calculus like, oh, okay, if I do 25 minutes here, then I'm going to be missing out on this. This is not a choice. You need to do this. People want to be seen, right? Especially in dispersed workforces. We're all wanting to be seen. We all know the value of having our manager take interest, a genuine interest in us. And so we also know the adage, right? That people don't leave bad jobs, they leave bad bosses. And so all these things together, this is a required piece of leadership. This is where leadership truly happens.
Welcome to the Super Managers Podcast, where we interview leaders from all walks of life to tease out the habits, thought patterns, learnings, and experiences that help them be extraordinary at the fine craft of management. Our goal is to bring you the lessons and the insights so that you don't have to learn through your own mistakes, but so that you can shortcut your way to being a great leader. This podcast is brought to you by Fellow, a software platform that helps managers and their teams collaborate on meeting agendas, track action items, and turn chaotic meetings into productive work sessions. Check it out at www.fellow.app. Hey, fellow managers and leaders, I'm Aiden, and I'm the CEO of Fellow.app. Today, I'm very excited to welcome back to the show, Stephen Rogelberg. The name probably sounds familiar because he's the author of one of our favorite books. It's called The Surprising Science of Meetings. He's also a chancellor's professor at UNC Charlotte. We love Stephen and his work. And as you know, we just obsess about meetings here at Fellow. Our job is to make meetings better for everyone in every company across the globe. So we often talk about Stephen's work, his research. He just puts so much out there in the world of meetings. And so we just found out that he wrote a new book, and it was about one-on-one meetings. And when we heard that, we had to have him back on the show. So his new book is called Glad We Met, The Art and Science of One-on-One Meetings. It is a fascinating book. It really goes deep. And so we talk about this and so much more in this episode. And we're so excited about this book, and we really want to help promote it. So we're going to do a book giveaway. We're going to give out 10 free books, and it's really easy to qualify. All you have to do is take a learning from this episode and post it on social. You can post it on LinkedIn. You can post it on X or Twitter. And just make sure to put the hashtag supermanagers so we can know to look for it. And we're going to select 10 people who are going to win this free book. And hopefully that can be you. So listen to the episode, post a learning, and participate in this book giveaway. We are so excited about this episode. Of course, before we dive in, just a reminder, give us those 5-star reviews. It really helps us promote the show. And we have a big community around this podcast. If you want to discuss and hang out with other super managers, just send us an email to supermanagers@fellow.app, and we will let you into that community. And with that said, and without further ado, here's Stephen Rogelberg on this episode of the Super Managers Podcast. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to say welcome to the show, but then I remembered, obviously, this is your second time on. Really awesome to have you back. Really enjoyed the first conversation and excited to dig in here. So a lot has happened in the world of meetings in the last year or two. Everybody, you know, knows you as many things, but also centered around being like the expert on meetings, the meeting scientist, you know, often on TV, often. You were just on Adam Grant's podcast, which was really awesome. But you have something new coming out, which is a new book that you wrote called Glad We Met, and it comes out on January 8th. So everybody can go and click pre-order or order now. I think like by the time that this episode goes live, the book should also be live. So why don't we start from the very beginning? Why did you decide to write this book?
Well, first of all, it's great to be here again. I loved our first show, and you're such a good champion for the meeting cause. So thank you for all that you do as well. Yeah, so as an organizational psychologist, I'm drawn to studying topics that in many regards cause people pain or are these incredible opportunities that are currently being missed. And so that brought me to study meetings. And then this new book, Glad We Met, The Art and Science of One-on-One Meetings, obviously focuses on one-on-one meetings. And one-on-one meetings is a completely different space, right? If you look in the meeting space, there's a lot of books. Now, my book was different because it was all about science. But in the one-on-one meeting space, it's really quite empty. And yet these things truly matter. They are so incredibly important. So, you know, basically after I did the first book, if you would have asked me, are you going to do another one? I'd say no. But then I just started realizing that this was something that needed a light shed on. So for 5 years, I conducted a whole bunch of new research on the topic, put it all together, integrated it with research on mentorship and coaching and communication. And voila, this book lays out the science and opportunity around one-on-ones. I think it's really exciting for folks. And to my true surprise, people are just into it. And that makes me so happy because I do this, obviously, to get the science out. You know, I'm donating all my royalties to charity. Everything goes to the American Cancer Society. So my hope is just to get out the content, and I'm glad people are interested.
Yeah, super excited to dig in about it. You know, it is very true. There are obviously many types of meetings. Everybody is in a lot of meetings. And, you know, as we've discussed previously, meetings have only increased post-pandemic. So a way that we spend a lot of our time. But when you look inside of the organization, for most managers, CEOs, founders, VPs, you know, and all throughout, we spend a lot of that time in one-on-one meetings. And at least in the world of management science, it's, you know, the most important meeting for a lot of people. It's the thing that you shouldn't miss. It's the thing that you shouldn't reschedule. So a lot of importance has gone about it. And there are, like, you know, people have talked about it here and there in various management books. Famously, I think in High Output Management, Andy Grove maybe talked about it. I don't know if he talked about it first, but a lot of people remember that as being one of the first places that they read about the concept. But Where do you see this? I mean, this, you know, people have been meeting one-on-one since the very beginning, since meetings have happened, right? It's not that it only started.
Well, so first of all, just to riff on what you said, the alternative title for the book that I considered was The One Meeting That Should Never Be an Email, because this is just so different, so critical. People definitely have been meeting in one-on-one context since the beginning of time. But this is different. You know, when we refer to a one-on-one meeting, we're talking about a meeting that's facilitated and orchestrated by the manager, but it's not for them. It's for the direct. It's for the direct to share what's on their mind. It's for the manager to facilitate a conversation, constantly looking for ways of supporting, listening, engaging with the content that the direct shares. So the orientation, I think the orientation is what's unique about this. This one predictable, regular meeting where the employee knows that they will be truly seen. And if the manager has stuff to talk about, that's great, but it's all secondary. Because again, this is that meeting that the employee knows is truly for them. And so that orientation, I think, is quite unique. That is quite contemporary. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Humans meet one-on-one. That's not the revolutionary piece.
Yeah. And so what would you say, like, if you break it down, so, you know, it's for maybe the manager organizes it, but it's really so that the direct report on the other end has the visibility, has the time that they need. If you were to kind of break it down into, you know, what are the goals? Is there like a primary goal and a secondary goal? Or how do you think about, you know, the actual purpose? If I were to ask you, what is the real purpose behind these meetings?
Yeah. So the purpose is really twofold. It's to meet the practical and tactical needs of the direct, needs that are both short-term and long-term. So it could be things going on in the moment, but it could also be looking forward to future opportunities and growth as a person. So that's the practical, tactical piece of it. But it's also meeting the personal needs. The personal needs to feel seen, respected, trusted, included. And that's really kind of the procedural part of it. You know, it's like going to a restaurant. Right, you can get great food, but if the service is bad, it hasn't been a very good experience. Vice versa, right? Bad food, great service, not a very good experience. So meeting the practical and tactical needs are really about the quality, and then personal needs are about that process, the service. And so the goal, you know, because the agenda should be driven by what's on the mind of the direct, there's not going to be this litmus test of, okay, well, did you talk about this? And if you did, it's been successful. You know, what the manager needs to do is get the direct to really think carefully about what they need, right? To think about all aspects of their work life, maybe even where it connects with the personal life, if they're comfortable, you know, thinking long-term, short-term, thinking team, thinking organization, right? To really do a thorough scan and then come to the meeting prepared to share. And then the manager has to lean in, right? The manager has to truly listen, hear it. And by doing that, now we have the ingredients for a successful one-on-one. But interestingly, our data is generally suggesting that employees indicate that 50% of one-on-ones were not considered optimal. So there's clearly they're not delivering on their incredible promise. But as you step back and reflect, it's not a big surprise. You know, managers receive basically no training on this topic. In my work with Fortune 500 companies, I've only found one organization that provided training around this topic. So you have an activity, lack of training. At the same time, we identified a blind spot. Managers leave these one-on-ones saying that they were better than the directs feel. So when you have a blind spot and there's no training, basically what you do is that you just start to recycle the dysfunctional, less than optimal practices that you yourself have experienced over time. And thus, these meetings just don't get to where they need to be. And what often happens is the managers, their needs are met. They often go heavy into micromanaging and they fall into one of the worst pitfalls, which is called the status update trap.
Yeah. So it is very interesting. Like the managers might feel that this is more productive. They might walk away and say, that was a great one-on-one. But then when you look at the data, it doesn't turn out that the person on the other side necessarily thinks the same. So we'll talk about the status update trap in a second, but is a sense that I'm getting that it seems like the manager's job is to make sure that the person that they're having a one-on-one with is really thinking about things holistically, like you said, to think about their career, think about their work, their obstacles,
right,
and really come into that discussion in a particular way, but at the same time, not to dictate, you know, what is talked about. And so there, I kind of feel a little bit of tension because, you know, sometimes people might want to come in and talk. Again, if there's no structure to the way that the conversation is had, then how can you make sure that it's productive and useful one? So I'm just curious, like, any thoughts on that or recommendations?
So there does need to be some structure. And I know you all have done some work in that space too. So we do find that having a lightweight agenda was tied to effectiveness. What was even more tied to effectiveness was the direct's direct involvement in the creation of the plan of action. So we do want to have structure. We want it to be a flexible structure. You know, the general approaches are you either do a listing approach where everyone comes to the meeting with a list of things they want to talk about. We then privilege the direct's content and the manager can intersperse into that. But basically what's unique to their list is only discussed if there's time. Right. So that's the listing approach. The second approach is kind of a core question approach where you say, hey, here are five questions to kind of structure a conversation. Questions such as, you know, what are the biggest obstacles that you're having and how can I support you? And so while the manager is providing those core questions, really the direct is driving the conversation. And then the final approach is a template-based approach. And all three approaches can work. You know, one of the things that I really emphasize in the book is this notion of the art and the science. And that's what's kind of unique about this topic is that, yeah, I lay out a bunch of evidence-based approaches, but ultimately as a leader, you have to stop. You have to stop and reflect about your values and your relationships with the individuals and what your directs would like. So we want the directs to help shape what these meetings look like. Again, this is the art. And so these three strategies for organizing the one-on-one all can be very viable. And the manager could reflect what fits them the best. And then they can execute. You know, ultimately, the plan of action, though, is just a lightweight plan of action. If a direct wants to spend the entire time talking about one issue, that's not a problem. It's not a problem because clearly that's what's on their mind. And the orientation that a manager has to have going into this is they're not trying to create a bunch of checkpoints that they did this, they did this, they did this, they did this. Wow, I'm good, right? They need to keep reminding themselves that they are coming into this conversation to bring out what's on the minds of the directs and to engage with it in a meaningful and deep way.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. And I love how you said one of the questions that you could, again, in the form of a light agenda is, you know, what are obstacles in your way or how can I help or some equivalent of that? Because I think it ties very well back into, I remember having our first conversation and you saying like a really good tactical approach to meetings in general is to have agenda items that are actually questions. And like, that's a much better way to formulate that. And so I guess one of the questions becomes, you know, you can create this structure, but the thing that you've got to avoid is the status update trap. So I'm going to assume that the status update trap is where managers get into micromanage mode.
Right.
And they're like, where are we at with this? Where are we at with that? And so on and so forth. So what is the most effective way to avoid that?
So a lot of it is going to be your mindset going in there. You know, realize as a manager, you have the power here, right? You can always schedule a meeting to review progress on various goals. Like that's in your capacity. It's just this meeting is not for that, right? This meeting is not for you. And we can monitor work in many different ways, right? So there's lots of managers who are super effective at managing their employees' status and progress by using asynchronous documents and where the employee is kind of providing updates, the manager's responding into it. Easy, not a problem. There's lots of managers who rely on team meetings for kind of status updates. So people all have a collective big picture perspective. So status updates can absolutely occur and they can occur lots of different ways. We just don't want to have it here. And so the mindset you go in there matters, you know, constantly involving the direct and the creation of the content to be discussed matters, you know, sharing a very clear vision up front for why you're doing these matters. Being appropriately vulnerable at times so that you help create a more safe environment for the direct to engage, that matters too. But ultimately, it's going to be the questions you ask. So active listening and engagement with others, conversations, they take work. And so you do it all the time as you're doing this podcast, right? You are trying to listen carefully to what I'm saying. You're trying to find themes in what I'm saying, right? You're fully connected. The mindset that you have is this is not about me. Right? I mean, you're basically enacting the kinds of things that I'm talking about. You're trying to make this a meaningful, valuable experience for your listeners. And you're trying to get me to bring out this content that could be valuable and rich. So that's what managers need to do. And so you do it because you recognize what this is all about. And so when managers fully recognize what this is all about, and in many regards, embrace this notion that these one-on-ones do help the manager too. Right. As employees thrive, it only is good for you. As employees thrive, they're less likely to leave the organization. That's good for you, especially if it's your top talent. Furthermore, we've seen some data that suggests that managers are interrupted less when they have regular cadence one-on-ones, right? Because people save their topics and issues for it. So it's just embracing this is your investment in your people. And really, investing weekly 20, 25 minutes. Is that really much of an investment? I mean, that's pretty easy to enact, especially given the incredible gains associated with the investment.
You know, this is a really interesting point. So a couple of things that I'm very curious to dig into. One is the way that you ask the question, which is like, is this something worthwhile that you should invest time in? I think what would be, what's probably interesting to the listeners here, because you know, the listeners of this podcast are the, I would say, management nerds to some extent, right? So these are the people who want to get better at management, who are actively, you know, journaling, they're tracking, they're listening to podcasts. They're like, how can I be a better manager and leader? So I think for this audience, yeah, everybody does one-on-ones. But what I would say is that, and I'm curious what you saw in the data is, do you have a sense for if you were to just look at corporate America, or I don't know how broad the study was, what percentage of managers actually do one-on-ones on a regular basis? Do you have some sort of idea on that?
It actually appears to be very high. They're happening. They're just not happening with the direct being the focus, right? They're happening with the manager getting their needs met. But yeah, no, they're definitely happening. It's just not the form that is optimal. And, you know, again, the data is really strong that when managers have these regular one-on-ones, you know, there's some data from Gallup involving over 2.5 million people that demonstrated a threefold increase in engagement. We have data published that shows that team success is higher. So I guess the key takeaway here is this is not really an optional activity. This is really a required activity. This is leadership. This is where leadership happens. And so, you know, a manager shouldn't be doing the calculus like, oh, okay, if I do 25 minutes here, then I'm going to be missing out on this. This is not a choice. You need to do this. People want to be seen, right? Especially in dispersed workforces. We're all wanting to be seen. We all know the value of having our manager take interest, a genuine interest in us. And so we also know the adage, right? That people don't leave bad jobs, they leave bad bosses. And so all these things together, this is a required piece of leadership. This is where leadership truly happens.
Hey everyone, just a quick pause on today's episode to tell you about a new feature that I am so excited about. We've been working on this one for quite a while and excited to announce it to the world. We're calling it Meeting Guidelines. So there's all these things that people already know they should do when they organize a meeting. So for example, you should make sure that you shouldn't invite too many people. Or if you're booking a recurring meeting, you probably want to put an end date on that meeting. Or if you're going to invite someone to a meeting, you should probably, you know, if they have more than 20 hours of meetings that week, maybe be a little bit more considerate and ask, should I really invite that person to the meeting? So there's a bunch of these sorts of things that, you know, you might even know about, but what happens somehow in larger organizations is that people forget all of these things. And so that's why we've built this feature called Meeting Guidelines. It's super easy to use. It's a Google Chrome extension. So if you install it, what will happen is it will integrate with your Google Calendar. And that way, whenever anyone within your company is about to book a meeting, these meeting guidelines will show up and make sure that people know and take a second look at that meeting that they're about to book and make sure that it adheres to these guidelines. So if you want to book or within your company have a no meeting day, or if you want to make sure that every meeting has an agenda in advance before it's booked. So all the different sorts of guidelines that you may want, and they're all obviously highly configurable because every company is going to be slightly different, but this is the first time that there is a way that you can get an entire organization to change their meeting behavior. It's something that we've been working on for a very long time, super proud to announce it to the world. It's called Meeting Guidelines. If you're interested in checking it out, would love for you to do that and give us feedback. You can get to it by going to fellow.app/guidelines. Again, that's fellow.app/guidelines. Check it out and let me know what you think. So let's talk about the other thing that you just mentioned in passing, which is, you know, 25 minutes a week. Let's talk about that timing. So 25 minutes is, I think for some maybe, oh, that feels short. And for others, it maybe feels long. Potentially it shouldn't. 25 minutes is really not a lot. For a manager, like thinking about those sorts of conversations, like I guess there's some variability into how much the timing should be, what the frequency should be. Yeah, wondering like, does it matter on seniority type of role?
So basically, what appears to really matter is the regularity, the predictability of these. That seems to be even more relevant than the actual amount of time, right? So the fact that the employee can count on this time with you, they know it's coming, that seems to be really the most key. You know, everyone has different amounts of directs. So the book does not say, here's the magic number of minutes the one-on-one should be. The book is quite clear that the data strongly supports that the best outcomes are associated with weekly one-on-ones, then followed by every other week, that we are very confident on. But I'm fine with a manager flexing the amounts of time for these, depending on practical realities. There was a second part of your question.
Yeah, which is just, you know, in terms of seniority and...
Okay. So this is actually really cool is... We collected some data where we asked people what is their preferred cadence. And we asked individuals who are junior and we asked people who are senior. And what we found, contrary to generational stereotypes, is that the more senior people actually desired the most amount of one-on-ones.
Oh, really?
And they wanted these once a week. And if you were to stop and reflect, that's actually not a big surprise, right? Senior leaders know how incredibly valuable FaceTime is with your manager. And so they get it and they embrace it. But in general, the average is people want these things weekly. Now, that might not be practical always. So it could be every other week and we still get good gains. It's just that once you move to a more of a monthly cadence model, you know, the gains definitely dropped quite a bit. because you start to lose the spirit of the one-on-one, which is momentum, continuity. With a monthly cadence, you have a big recency bias that kicks in. So a monthly is better than nothing, but it's definitely not as good as weekly or every other week.
So one other question I have is, I know that you talk about four steps of one-on-ones, pre-start, start, the heart, and the end. So I'd love to maybe touch on that. And the other thing related is, I know you want to have a structure to the one-on-one. You can have a light structure. And I've heard as a best practice for, you know, other guests on the show, people have referred to, oh, and then maybe once a quarter, I'd like to dedicate a one-on-one for career development. And, you know, they'll kind of like intermix the structure, which is not just like micro based on each one-on-one, but it's like a holistic approach. So if we have 12 of these, like one of them will be about this. And then, so maybe let's start with the four steps of the one-on-ones. How should people think about that?
So basically you've got this preparation phase, and the preparation phase, I mean, we could talk about this for a long time, right? Because the book lays this all out. And so I'm just giving you some highlights to whet your appetite. But, you know, the preparation phase, you know, that's really about reviewing your notes, identifying some past themes that you've observed. You know, if the employee was working on something, you know, that would be good for you to kind of make a note of. So that way you can kind of follow up and say, hey, how's that going? You know, that's a nice signal to the employee that this is, that you're truly listening. And another key part of that prep is the mindset. And one of the things I talk about in the book that I think is really fascinating is something called the Pygmalion effect. And this was initially observed in teachers, that when teachers, that basically students rise to the level of your expectations. So as a teacher, if your expectation is that the student is lazy, you actually act in particular ways that lead to that person being lazy, right? You don't take the extra effort, give them attention, give them the guidance, because in your minds, they're lazy. So they act lazy. And this applies to one-on-ones. When you go into that one-on-one, if you have the mindset that your employees can grow, they can learn, they can thrive, then that's going to affect the questions you ask and how you listen and engage. So all these things, right? The capturing what's, you know, being mentally prepared, being actually prepared by looking at your notes, all is helpful. Then during the meeting itself, obviously the key is to refresh on the lightweight plan and then give the direct the option to completely throw it out. And you can say, hey, okay, this is what we worked on. Is this still what you want to talk about? And what's most important to you? Once you have clarity on that, right, that gives you a good sense of what success looks like, because that's what's on their minds. And then the conversation, you know, is one where you're really listening. You're asking, help me understand, tell me more, right? Your job is to really understand. Some of it might ask, you know, you to share your ideas, but in many regards, you want to encourage the direct to share their ideas. This is another big mistake in one-on-ones where while the manager can share their perspective, you know, we want them to get the direct to share their perspective and then pick your battles. It's often the case that managers think that if the direct solution doesn't match theirs, that they shouldn't intercede. And it's just not correct, right? If there's a big, meaningful gap between their solution and yours, fine, intercede. But other than that, you know, let it go. It might just work. And if it doesn't, that could be additional conversation. But when you let the individual proceed with their idea, they're going to be much more bought in. They're going to persevere. And it conveys trust and respect. And so what I talk about in the book is this just really iterative process. You know, depending on what the direct bring broaches, here's a potential process for you to follow. And so I just created this very lightweight, nimble approach with different kind of contingencies for the manager to prepare themselves. So that's the heart. And then, you know, the conclusion is so critical, right? The conclusion is where you start really identifying what did we decide on, who's supporting what are our expectations, and you're writing it down. And what our research actually showed is that old school note-taking was the best approach. That when you have a notebook and a pen and you start jotting it down, it's another one of those signals that you're taking this really seriously. And then, you know, clearly you got to act, you got to do what you say. So that's kind of the general process that can lead to success.
Yeah, it is very interesting, especially when you talk about the conclusion. I mean, two things. One is the conclusion and actually doing what you say, and that really reinforces that you are listening and you do care. And this idea of, you know, the employees will rise to your expectations. So it's almost, when you walk into this meeting, you have to think about the person that you're meeting with as someone that can advance, can grow, can rise higher. And with that mentality, I think it'll seep through in the conversation. So action items coming out of these meetings. A lot of times we like to say that meetings should have action items. Should one-on-ones have action items? Always, sometimes, never. Does it matter?
The answer is sometimes. There could be plenty of times where the employee just wants to broach issues, get them off their chest, talk about it, and no actions are needed. So there's not a prescribed formula about what these will look like at the end. But it's rare to have no actions, right? Even if the action is checking in with the employee after 3 or 4 days later, just to see how things are going. So typically there's something that arises from it, but there's not a litmus test for how many or what a good one looks like. Because again, we're relinquishing that power, right? We're giving that power to the direct. And I do want to circle back to what you started. You know, one of the things I talk about in the book is this notion of either dedicating X minutes at every one-on-one for a longer horizon topic or dedicating every fourth one-on-one to a longer horizon topic. But, you know, we basically just don't want these things to become about fighting fires, which is kind of our tendency. So we want to just keep weaving in other types of possibilities for the direct to consider. And so in the book, I lay out a variety of different possibilities. And then you could choose from those possibilities. You can rotate new possibilities. And as you do this, you know, asking good questions is the heart of a one-on-one. But I do want to give you an example of how a good response option matters. And a good example is a very common question in one-on-ones, which is, how are you? Right? That's a common question. How are you? Well, interestingly, that question doesn't work. When you ask someone, how are you? They typically give you automatic responses, right? I'm fine. Pretty good. Great. You don't have much to work with. But if you actually just do a little tweak, and I'm going to share this tweak because you could insert it in lots of different places, but I think it makes the point that if we want these conversations to be deep and meaningful, we want to think about the questions and the response approach. So if I ask you, reflect on how things are going for you at work, you know, how are you showing up today? And I want you to answer, though, on a 10-point scale, with 1 being terrible, 10 being, I'm great. How are you? When you do that, next thing you know, you're getting scores of 5, 6, and 7. Now you have something to work with. Now you could say, tell me more. Why are you a 6? How could you become an 8? And it might be the case that the person says, well, I'm having these challenges, or it could be, you know, at work. It could be the case they say, well, I'm having some really big challenges with work flexibility. I have an aging parent I'm taking care of, and it's just hard to get things done. Right. So who knows where it could go? But by playing with the response options, again, it promotes a rich conversation.
Yeah. What a great tweak. And it is all about getting behind the first layer and going deeper and establishing that rapport. So what sort of tactical thing that I'll ask you as we get to wrap up here is for the listeners. And I think like a lot of listeners of the podcast, you know, work at maybe a technology company, work with a lot of engineers, and I'm sure you heard your fair share of anecdotes, but there's always this, you're about to have a one-on-one, and then, you know, people will send a message to each other on Slack, have anything to talk about? Nope, you, nope, and then, you know, cancel. And so, or sometimes I've heard people say, well, I walk into the meeting and it's like pulling teeth. It's just the information doesn't flow. The, you know, person on the other side, one word responses to every question. And
right.
So how do you think about those sorts of things where people are not like dying to have the one-on-one
right
on the other side?
So what we have in the data, by the way, is when someone's not dying to have a one-on-one, it's because the one-on-ones suck. That's the biggest predictor.
That's an important one.
So I think that's important to know. If your people are saying they don't want one, that's data. You're not doing it right. Because
that's very valuable to know.
When it's going well, everyone wants them, right? I mean, who wouldn't want a conversation focused on their needs and issues and challenges? Cancellations, the employee certainly could cancel if they'd like. A manager should almost never cancel. If a manager cancels, that's a signal that you don't really care, at least in the minds of the employee. If you do need to cancel, you should just move up the meeting, make it sooner rather than later. And or you just dial back time. If you have to travel for a trip that you didn't know about, then find 15 minutes at the airport to have that one-on-one. Those are just really important signals. The reason why there could be dead space is because these things just haven't been rolled out effectively. As a manager, if you say to your employee, listen, I really want you to thrive and I want to help in any way I can. And I want these one-on-ones to be this opportunity to promote your thriving. And we could talk about anything that's on your mind. And here are a variety of options. And I want you to think short-term and long-term and give some examples. That's going to inspire the employee to start thinking differently. When we don't provide that broad guidance, then yeah, employees might say, well, what do I have to talk about? But when you share a large menu of options, they won't have a problem identifying something. And you know, also a little awkwardness or a little silence in a one-on-one, that's fine. Deal with it, right? That's not a problem, right? If there's a little pause, okay, just keep your mouth quiet and let it resolve itself. You know, ultimately what will happen is the employee will share something else. Now, if it's really awkward as a manager, you could say, you know, so tell me about X. You know, what are your thoughts? How's that going for you? Right. So you can kind of prompt as needed. But if you established kind of the vision and the goals and provided a set of potential options and really clarified why you're doing these, you know, I don't think people have a hard time figuring out some meaningful topics to broach.
Yeah, I think when you said that if people don't want to have the one-on-ones, it's a signal that the one-on-ones suck. I think that says it all. There's no excuses. So if that's happening, there are ways to solve it. And the best way, I think, is to pick up Steven's new book. So obviously, every manager, every leader should read this. Is this also like, should a manager buy copies for all of their direct reports? Yeah. Or like, how do you think about, this is an everybody book, right?
It is. So I designate certain chapters that are really direct focus versus leader focused, but I absolutely frame this as it takes two to tango. And while the manager has a greater responsibility, the direct does too. So I have this one chapter where I say, here are the 10 things directs need to do going into their one-on-one. I even get into, you know, how to ask for help and what that should look like. You know, for example, you know, we know from the science that there's two general approaches to help seeking. One is autonomous help seeking and the other is dependent. Dependent is you're looking just for the answer from someone. Autonomous is you're just seeking information so you can make, right? So that you can help yourself. Those employees who engage in more autonomous help seeking, lo and behold, are your best performers. So I lay out, you know, how do you engage in more autonomous help seeking? And, you know, the directs ultimately will be future leaders, likely carrying out one-on-ones. So yeah, it's completely relevant. The other kind of fun twist is that the learnings from this book can be applied to one-on-one meetings you have with your children.
Oh, excellent.
And that they fully align with what we know from parenting and clinical work. And that might sound crazy, the thought of having a one-on-one meeting with your kid, but you should. It doesn't have to be this rigid calendar hold, but children want to be seen. And we often don't take 20, 15, 25 minutes and just sit down and literally say, what's on your mind? How are things going? What are the biggest things you're struggling with, right? So taking these lessons and skills from what we know about having one-on-ones with their directs, they can all be extended. And that's another, I think, fun application of this book. So I hope people will check it out. I think there's a lot to it. I personally think it's much better than my first book. And my first book I thought was pretty good. I think this one, I was much better at it this time, right? So I was no longer a brand new author. I feel really excited about it. And, you know, again, the bonus is that all my royalties are all going to charity. Everything's going to American Cancer Society. So people can buy the book if they want to learn about one-on-ones or buy the book if they just want to help eliminate cancer.
Awesome. I love it. So many good points. And, you know, for all the longtime listeners, we've got our Super Manager Slack workspace. So for everyone who's going to read Steven's book, we'll have a discussion there and talk about the learnings and what you're going to change about your one-on-ones. And it's going to be great. And so, Steven, thank you so much for spending the time with us. And it is really good to see you again.
Oh, I enjoyed it. And again, thank you for all that you're doing to try to elevate meetings in organizations.
And that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Super Managers Podcast. You can find the show notes and transcript at www.fellow.app/supermanagers. If you like the content, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe so you can get notified when we post the next episode. And please tell your friends and fellow managers about it. It'd be awesome if you could help us spread the word about the show. See you next time.